So there's a lot of data that will be generated, and it's already generated for AI. It's going to require a lot of, storage, a lot of capacity.
Hello and welcome to episode 75 of Great Things with Great Tech, the podcast highlighting companies doing great things with great technology. I'm your host, Anthony Spiteri, and in this episode, we're talking to a company offering a comprehensive range of data storage solutions designed for organizations looking to optimize their data infrastructure. Their products blend robust performance, reliability, and scalability with a focus on advanced technology and user-friendly management. Their storage solutions cater to a wide array of computing platforms and operating systems. That company is Jetstor. Joined today by Gene Lazarevich. I'm going to get that right sooner or later, Gene, the founder of what was Advanced Computer and Network Corporation, the driving force behind Jetstor. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Anthony, for having me. And great to be with you. And we should have a good show.
Yeah, and you think with me working with a lot of Russians that I should be able to have pronounced your surname correctly off the bat. But tell us, give me the correct pronunciation for your surname.
Gene Lazarevich. Lazarevich.
Lazarevich. I wasn't too far off. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. You're excellent. Yeah, you're excellent.
There you go. There you go. I shouldn't have doubted myself. Awesome. All right, just before we get into the history of Jetstor, and especially yourself, you got an amazing history yourself in terms of your journey towards CEO and founding of this company. But as a reminder, if you love great things with great tech, we'd like to feature in future episodes, please click on the link on the show notes or head to gtwgt.com. You can stay up to date with all the episodes, all 75 of them now, on the major podcasting platforms, Google, Apple, and Spotify. All hosted and distributed by Spotify Podcast. And also go to YouTube, hit at GTWGT Podcast, hit the like, subscribe button, and the alert button, and do all that good stuff. So, Jane, with that out of the way, let's talk about Jetstor. Let's talk about yourself first, though, because your story is quite remarkable in terms of just a refugee from Russia coming to the United States and making it big. So give a little bit of background about yourself and those early years before you founded this company.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a long journey. It was 1991, October 1991. I woke up in Moscow and, my mom says, there are tanks on the street. And, it was the first coup. We actually were supposed to get out, a few days later to go to immigrate to the United States. We had a refugee status and everything. And then the airports were closed. We couldn't get out. So, luckily the coup only lasted 3 days, and we were able. It was 1991. It was the first coup that they had. And then we were able to get out and actually made our way to the States, to Pittsburgh, and then that's how we end up here. Immigrated in 1991, and then. Basically, I was actually working in the medical field at first, actually working at the hospital, but then, got really interested in technology. And then in 94, we actually found, for incorporate the Advanced Computer Network. And then in 1996, we started, we actually created a brand Jetstor. And we started manufacturing and, basically creating appliances and designing appliances and named Jetstor.
So that's interesting. So how old were you when you had to come over to the US?
I was 18.
You're 18,
years old.
Okay.
I did not speak much English. Yeah, there's no English. We did not have, we came literally with $100 in our pockets. So we didn't have, any financial means, we were just literally just came off the boat and, we just started working from, for ground up.
It sounds that way. And did you have an education in Russia that was based in some sort of engineering or computing?
I went to engineering school in Russia for 2 years. And then I went for another 2 years here in the University of Pittsburgh. So, but I got really interested in technology, in computers. My first computer was Gateway 2000. The one there was the cow spots. Remember those things?
I do. It's like I was young, but I do remember.
Yeah. So, and then we started, obviously we started getting interested in technology, and then we heard about this famous white paper by three professors, with RAID white paper.
Okay.
And then, we actually acquired RAID.com. And then, we started getting into data storage and, doing all this RAID stuff, which is now kind of obsolete, as you know. Not as cool anymore. So,
So
but
that's significant, I think. It's significant because, we're talking about someone who bought the raid.com domain, in the early days of the internet. And we won't give away the story about that just yet in terms of where that is today, because I think that's a really cool story, but we'll get into it later. But I really wanted to touch on, the fact that you founded AC and NC in Pittsburgh, in 93. Now that's only 2 years after you came to America. It's pretty crazy to think you founded a company. But what were you guys doing in 93? Because you mentioned in 99 that, the Jetstor product, which is what people would know you guys for now in terms of storage and whatnot. But what were you doing in that first 6 years?
right. So we were mostly doing, because the company was called Advanced Computer Network, so we were doing just general IT. So we actually were, we actually had a partner actually back in Russia, and then we were exporting some of the just IT related equipment, software. We were just doing mostly just the kind of export to our Russian partner.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of kind of interest, and there was a lot of lack of IT infrastructure in Russia. So we were supporting actually like Russian banks and stuff like that, because they were that that industry was just coming up at that time. So and then we were able to help them to get their infrastructure kind of in a better shape.
So
So
were you dealing in store in just like storage systems at that
yes,
point?
we were actually dealing in storage. A lot of it was storage, like at the beginning, there was just a simple, we actually were working with a company called Storage Computer out of Nashua, New Hampshire. And they had the product called RAID 7. And it was early days, and we started, we were doing the 9 gigabyte drives, 4 gigabyte drives, back then. So which is now just USB sticks. So the early days were very, very interesting. We had a huge box, like maybe like the small, like a college size refrigerator that was, and it would hold probably about 50 gigabytes.
So you were shipping these things off to Russia, obviously. Just maybe explain a little bit about that, because I think I've done a little bit of research and interest in Russian technology and how it's generally a couple of years to maybe a few years behind where the rest of the world is due to fabrication and whatnot. So the idea of importing, systems from the US meant that companies were getting more advanced computing and more advanced storage than what they would have got locally, right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, we were definitely on, at that time on the bleeding edge. They didn't have anything that was, anything close to what we were, shipping them. And they were getting ahead. Obviously they were trying to stay, current with technology. And we actually had at that time, the bleeding edge technology that was there. So we were very, very successful. Until the market. Until the there was a collapse in financial markets in Russia, and
Okay.
then we brought over our engineer who's still with us. He's been with us for 24 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's been working for us for 24 years, and we brought him over like 98, and then we created brand Jetstor, and then we started marketing Jetstor in the States, and then
Yep.
we pretty much our business in Russia kind of was shut down at that point.
All
So
right.
we closed it out, and then we started doing a lot of marketing here, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, like you started to so you started to focus locally, and was that around about that 99 time period when Jetstor as a service or as a brand started?
Correct. Yeah, 99. We started. We created a brand Jetstor, which a lot of people. It's not related to airplanes. It's jet, means fast, and then store means storage, so it's fast storage. And for 99, I think that was a pretty cool name, you know, and still, I think it's still
It's still a
relevant.
pretty cool name. Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, and then, you know, we started doing a lot of marketing here. You know, we went to local bank, you know, try to get a loan, and, you know, we didn't get any loans at all. So, you know, we were bootstrapping it from our apartments from, then we, you know, got a small office, and then we had a bigger office where we started doing production and so forth. And you know, actually our first customer was actually here in Pittsburgh, and they actually were ISP. I don't, you
Oh,
probably remember
okay.
ISP, right? Like internet service
Yeah.
provider. So
Yeah.
now they actually a very big cloud provider here in like a regional provider. They have about 15 data centers.
Well, who's that?
So it's called Expedient.
Oh, I know them very well. There you go.
You know
Interesting. Okay.
Expedient?
Of course. That's the
Yeah,
cloud
so
providers.
yeah. So
Yeah, the cloud
it used
provider
to be
world is
called
my space.
Stargate.
Yes.
It used to be called Stargate Industries. And our first sale was to Stargate Industries, then later became Expedient. So yeah,
Yeah, so I
that's
think
our
Clara,
first customer.
yeah, so probably clarify a little bit about, you know, we talked about the Russian era of the RAID controls and the storage, but as JetStore started and as you sold into this ISP, what were you, was it actually, I guess, was it custom built storage arrays, or what exactly was the product? What was JetStore shipping to customers back then?
Correct. So yeah, we were working with a few OEMs. One was called Storage Computer, and one was called CMD. So, and Storage Computer, they were making an appliances that was already pre-built, and then we had to put in the drives. You know, we had to burn them, we had to test them. It was all back SCSI, the
Okay.
68-pin, you know, parallel SCSI, and then you know we were doing, like I said, you know, 4 gigabyte and 9 gigabyte drives. So and then the CMD was a little bit more complex because actually it had a RAID controller, and then we had to get chassis from a company called Kane Engineering, and then we put it all together with drives, and then we would ship it to a customer. And those systems were bigger because they would have maybe like 20 to 40 to 60 drives, but the drives were still small. So these things
Yeah.
were, you know, like a mini refrigerators, and
Yeah.
you know they were quite large, but the capacity was really small. But the speed was good at that time, and customers were happy. So,
Yeah. So what was the differentiating factor back then when we think about storage arrays back then? Probably didn't quite hit the era of the big SANs at that point, right? I mean, they for my end, they kind of started in the early to mid 2000s, where you started to see the biggest SANs dominating, you know, data
correct.
centers. So who was your competition back then, and why were you winning customers back in the sort of turn of the 21st century?
Yeah, exactly. So those were the units. I know they still were called DAS, direct touch storage. So they would connect directly to the host, you know, the computer, the server, you know, via 68-pin cables, and you know, there would just be direct attached storage, like you would attach your USB disks now. So and you know, we were actually competing with companies as like DAC, Digital, you know, Digital Storage Corporation, and then also EMC. We were competing a lot with EMC. At that time, it was not, you know, there was not Dell EMC, but then, you know, we were actually competing with EMC. You know, and that time, you know, there was very, obviously we were much smaller, and you know, we were able to provide affordable solution to you know, to our customers, which we still do to this day, and we still compete with Dell EMC now.
Of course, yeah, everyone kind of does that,
Yes,
right? But
everyone
yeah,
does.
absolutely. So in terms of your value add that you had in terms of, you know, starting JetStore back then and its evolution, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how you've evolved into quite a big range of storage arrays with different componentry, different types, different protocols. Was there a component in there that was your secret sauce that was giving, you mentioned you've used OEM and whatnot, but what was the R&D component that was JetStore?
Yeah, so we did a lot of work with GUI. You know, we had like a lot of input, you know, how the GUI was designed. We designed, you know, some of the GUI components and some of the ideas for data protection. You know, we designed as well. So that's kind of where we came in, you know, was our value add, where, you know, we had a lot of say, you know, how the GUI layout will be. And the actual features of the product, you know, we were actually contributing to the engineering resources as well.
Okay. And in terms of technology shifted, we mentioned We can talk about raid.com now, because I think it's a pretty cool story. But you know, from the point of view of how we used to think about storage, I mean, you talked about in the 90s, we're just talking about disks, and maybe we're talking about direct attached storage, and we would see a small array of disks that were on a shelf that were connected in parallel, and that kind of gave you a bit of protection, a bit of parity, a bit of storage as well, you know, in terms of the size of it. And then RAID started to come into play, and then everyone was talking about RAID, and RAID was a thing for a long time. And then we started to sort of not talk about RAID, and RAID got a bad rap. And then we started to talk about erasure coding, and now we're kind of in this world where we almost don't talk about those things specifically. It's become a bit of a black box. I mean, object storage has probably had a lot to play with that in recent times. But how did you see that? Because you've ridden that whole wave, right, of change and trends in the storage world. So, firstly, tell us about RAID.com, because that's cool. And then tell us about, you know, your point of view on RAID to erasure to object storage to where we are today with cloud and hybrid.
Yeah, absolutely. First about RAID.com. So we obviously RAID was getting hot, and you know, everybody was looking for RAID, and we found a company that actually owned RAID.com, which they actually were kind of in distress. So we approached them. They said, you know, they wanted, I think it was like $6,000, and you know, we're like, well, we'll just settle for 3,000. So I think we
Mental
ended up.
note, everyone, just a mental note on the $3,000 outlay. Go, continue the story.
Yeah, so we we acquired it for, I think, for like $5,000 that time, and we've had it for I think we sold it probably about 10 years ago or so, but maybe even 8 years ago, for like 200,000.
Wow.
And you know, we had a lot of people. And my investment advisor told me that was that was probably my best invest. I told my investment advisor, you know, if I
Yeah.
You, if you know, if I ever invest, you know, if you ever invest like this, you know, that's what I want to do, you know, for the rest of my life. So it was probably
Isn't
my
it
best
funny?
ever.
Yeah, we look for great investments and those sort of unicorn investments. And I know a lot of people did make money on domains, right? I think about the guy that owned X.com when Elon bought Twitter, right? And he was trying to
Right.
sell it for millions and millions of dollars because he owned X.com. And it's just a funny thing, and it just kind of be lucky, right, in that sense. But to turn $3,000 or $5,000 into $200,000, yeah, you're not going to get a better investment almost ever. Like
Never, right?
no crypto,
No
no
crypto.
actual proper company. Nothing's going to give you a sustained return on that. So that's a really cool story. But to
That's a
actually
pretty cool
hold,
story.
yeah, to hold
And
raid.com for so
the
long as
best
well.
part about it, that it was not bought by a competitor. So it actually was bought by a company that does this, the bug spray,
That's
which,
even
you know,
better.
I wasn't worried about it at all. So, you know, I said, hey, fine, just have it, you know, have fun with it. So
You
because
sometimes think that. Yeah, go ahead.
their site was killsbugdead.com.
Ah.
A really long site. So they're like, you
Yeah.
know, we wanted, and on the bottle they had raid.com.
Raid.
I mean, raid, you know, that was the product
Yeah.
name, you know, but they couldn't, you know, obviously it was not a trademark because it's abbreviation, you know, redundant array of independent disks. So they couldn't prove, you know, they couldn't say anything about that it was their name.
Yes.
So they had to buy it. And you know, they offered me like 50K, you know, like, you know, I'm like, no, that's not, this more is much more. So then they finally came back, you know, many years later, and you know, gave us what we were looking for. And you know, then now they have raid.com on all their bottles.
There you go. Do you
I
know? Do
told
you
them, you
kind
know,
of?
send me a box of the spray, and they're like, no, you can buy
That's a shame. You should have had that in perpetuity, actually. That's what you should have said.
it.
You give me a box every year. Do you sometimes
Right.
wonder
Right.
how much I could do you wonder how much I could have been
Lifetime
worth?
supply.
Yeah, exactly. Of RAID and RAID. But do you sometimes go, oh, 8 years ago, if it was like now, maybe I could have maybe sold it for $1 million or something, you know? But anyway, you can't. You did pretty well. I wouldn't complain.
Nah,
Anyway,
I think, I mean, yeah, it's
yeah, don't
RAID is
complain.
not, you know, just like we talked, you know, basically the RAID evolved, you know, is like you said, of object and other you know, technologies and everything. So,
Yeah,
you know, we
good
kind of
segue.
evolved into that, you know, kind of different technology now. So
Yeah.
it's pretty cool.
So
And
talk about that. Talk about, you know, that the early days of RAID, what it meant, and how it became such a thing, and then it transitioned into the erasure and where we are today, where the black box kind of exists, but certain people still need to understand what's happening underneath the surface, right, of these storage controllers and arrays.
Yes, a lot of people, so obviously, now using erasure coding, object storage, all kinds of ZFS file system, and everything. So there's a different level of protection. And obviously now with the cloud adoption, in the past 5 to 10 years, we've been doing a lot of hybrid cloud integrations with storage, and obviously the capacity has evolved from 4 terabyte to now 30 terabyte drive, so we can do multi-petabytes deployments, in a very small footprint. So obviously the capacity, the density, have evolved, and now you can get, quite massive, amounts of storage in a very small footprint, and that's what we're doing, And then of course the SAN and the NAS and the object, those are three main, the components of storage platforms, and that we pretty much offer all of it, because we have a wide, like you said, we have a wide variety of products, that go from kind of small to medium to large, and we can, cover very wide, variety of customers, because we cover different verticals. We have customers all over, the place, kind of a lot of educational customers, high performance computing, media entertainment, video surveillance, and now in the past 5 years, we've been doing a lot of work with cloud providers and backup providers.
Right. And okay, yeah. So in terms of the evolution, you started with a standard SAN, but then you've got all flash arrays now, you've got NASs, and then you've also got pure NVMe arrays as well. So you've got a fairly wide array of products. I think one of the interesting things, if I look off on the cast on the vendors that I've had on the show this year specifically, a few of them have been very narrow in their focus in terms of, we're only going to release two or three different versions of our product. It's going to be software. We're going to do this and that. But I think what you guys have done, you seem to not so much be a jack of all trades, but you sort of seem to be very broad in your product set. So is that something that happened as a purposeful strategy, or is it something that just happened just via normal evolution of the people that you were talking to and your customer set?
Yeah, I think it's kind of all of the above. I mean, we had demand for, something sort of medium, mid-range, and something large, and then all, we have also some customers that have like remote sites, remote offices that have something small. So like this year, we actually deploying 80 locations for a government customer, and they're doing like private cloud at 80 different locations. I need something fairly small, but it has to be very reliable. So we're actually doing a private cloud for them, but the actual requirement is about 50 to 100 terabytes per site, but it has to be very reliable, and they need more, those kind of storages as well. So we have to provide this, the smaller deployments. But then we have some customers that want to, half a petabyte, 2 petabyte, 5 petabyte, 6 petabyte, 10 petabyte. And we have to, accomplish that as well. So, the customer's demand, like you said, is pretty much kind of, requesting where, we need to be. And that's where we see that, you have to offer different solutions, kind of for different customers.
Yeah. And how do you balance performance, reliability, and scalability with that in mind? Because we all know in this industry that there's a challenge in offering two out of three or three out of three. You might lose some because that's just the law that storage platforms work under. Believe me, I know. I tell this to all the storage guys I have on, is that the scars that I have from storage platforms gone wrong, I could write a book on. When you're looking after hosting platforms that are supposed to be up and the storage goes down for all different sorts of reasons and whatnot, how did you get the loyal customer base? Because I feel from what the research and in looking at the customer base and the product set, you were able to basically deliver on the promise, and that's pretty rare in this industry to deliver on the reliability, the performance, and the scalability.
Correct. Yeah, we've been fortunate. We've have customers that have been with us for over 15 years, which is very
Wow.
remarkable.
Yeah.
It's
It's
in this
huge.
industry, it's huge. And customers been with us. We just because right now we're on like our eighth generation of product, And you know, they've been buying from us. You know, we have some customers that have had like three or four generations of products. So they, whenever the 3-5 year cycle runs, you know, then they buy a new JetStore. And you know, obviously now it's all flash, all NVMe, like you said. So you know, we are doing the flash and NVMe, and then for the you know production data, and then for the backup, you know, we're doing hard drives, which is they're still, by the way, alive, very much alive. And you know, like people have been saying, dead, and tape was going to be dead, you know, 10 years ago, you know, whatever. And tape is still alive. And now people are saying that, you know, the hard drives are dead, and you know, the hard drives are still alive. But you know, obviously we're doing a lot of flash, you know, for production, it's all flash. And this deployment that we're doing right now, you know, it's all flash.
Go ahead.
And like to, you know, touch on your question about you know, how do we, you know, achieve the actual reliability, is that, you know, I always tell people that my biggest fear when a customer calls and something happens with array, you know, we ask them where to back up, and they say, oh, the backup is on that array. And I said, where's your production data? Oh, it's on that same array. So at that point, you know, that's my biggest fear, because you know, we tried to you know, the 3-to-1 rule is still there. It's just never gonna be, you know, you have to have primary, you have to have DR, and you have to have archive. There's just no way around it. You know, you have to have DR site, you have to have secondary storage, you have to have an archive. And a lot of customers think that when they buy RAID or they buy storage array or whatever you call it, you know, it's all gonna last forever and it's all gonna be one piece. You now, you know, you gotta have redundancy, and it's all about architecture. So we try to tell, you know, we consult people, we provide them solutions. We tell them, you know, you gotta have multiple, you know, copies of your data. You cannot rely on one single piece of equipment and think that it's, you know, it's gonna be there forever. And you know, most of our customers recognize that, and you know, they have multiple arrays, and that's the only way, is to really be, you know, up 20, you know, 24/7, 99.999. You just can't design a single product, you know, as reliable as two product, you know, sort of two different pieces.
And I like that honesty. The honesty there is fantastic. I think it's probably what's gotten you as far as you have, right? Because I
And
think
people, you know,
I've
I
de
just tell people the way it is. You know, you just gotta have two. You just can't have one. You know, you can't, you know, you can't ride one horse. I mean, you just have two horses, because the horse dies. I mean, what are you gonna do? So
I bet you there's some sort of Russian saying or translation for that one, the two horses dying and whatnot. There's got to be something.
yeah, that's right.
I do like I do like those Russian stories and those translations that come through.
There you go. There you go.
But I think it's good though, because what I do see and what we have seen, especially in the last 10 years, if I think about the startups that have come through from the storage in the storage world, they all promise the world. They all promise ultimate, you know, resiliency and uptime, and
Nine,
will never
nine,
go
nine,
down.
one,
And you
nine.
know, there's all these guarantees, and you know, not to badmouth a lot of it, because there has been a few to their credit that have done very well. I think of, you know, the Pures of this world and whatnot. They have actually done quite well in getting
Pure is
up in
good.
front of it, right? But there's not too many Pures of this world. But what I'm seeing, you know, in talking to different people, you know, I had Infinidat on last episode, which just seemed to be a company that just done their thing. Kind of they've gone about it very quietly,
With
but they've got a
Moshe,
great they've got a great loyal
it's
base.
a great team. I mean, yeah, they've been around. It's all
That's
about, you
it.
know, everybody in storage knows everybody. So it's a whole, you know, when you start talking to people, they all come from somewhere.
And you're the same,
So
right? And I think JetStore's the same. You've got this loyal customer base. You mentioned your customers are there for 15 years. That's unheard of in this world, because if anything, different people come through. So when you think about that, you've survived generational change in the IT department as well. Because typically, no one's staying there for 15 years, especially people at heads of department that are making these technical decisions. And sometimes the technical decision actually becomes a financial decision as well when it comes to storage. So, you know, for you to have that longevity across the board, I think it is very cool. Talk a little bit about, are you as excited today about NVMe and flash as you were back in the days of, you know, the RAIDs? And, you know, holy crap, we've got RAID 1+0 now, or, you know, we've got RAID 5. Like, what excites you more? Like, if you could sort of pick a period of time.
I mean, we still, we're still obviously very excited about the future, and we're seeing what's happening. I mean, obviously, in the past 5 years, I mean, the market has just kind of just leaped. There's just really big jumps, in the market. Where, at first it was kind of like going fairly sort of not slow, but kind of in a normal pace. But the how it's all evolving now, the past 5 years, it's just really fast. I've been fascinated by it, because like the Flash, and then it goes to NVMe, and then it goes to, something else from this point, so from that point on, from that standpoint, it's just really, really been going fast. How we see the technology evolving, because, as soon as the Flash came in, now the NVMe, and then now the, like maybe Fabric, and, this NVMe over Fabric, and this and that. So there's a lot of technology advancements, but we try to stay kind of on the bleeding edge, but not on, like, we don't want to bleed out. So we kind of, we want to be established. We don't want to be like all so new that things may not work out, because obviously there's been a lot of, those kind of technologies that came in and kind of left. So but yeah, there's a lot of things that are like containers, like the obviously the cloud, the all those things that are just coming up, with the hybrid cloud adoption, and so much data being generated, in the past 5 years, that which haven't generated in the past, thousands of years. So the data explosion is just, is just amazing. And of course, we haven't touched on, but I mean, that could be another episode, is AI and ML. AI. AI is going to generate tons of data. It's already generated. There's
There
people
it
already,
is, yeah.
huge farms, AI farms, and they, it's very expensive to go on a public cloud with AI. So there's a lot of initiative that, a lot of GPU clusters are being generated. But not only it doesn't, it needs compute, but it also needs a lot of storage,
And
and it
that's
needs
actually something,
advanced
yeah,
storage.
that's something that probably gets forgotten actually. There's a lot of people that talk about the compute and the GPU side of that. But I don't think about the storage element of it. You're very correct there. So, I mean, how do you think about that from a leader, a visionary? How do you feel about, where Jetstor will be to ride that wave of AI? Is it to be able to find a new sort of happy medium between performance and scale and capacity to be able to store more data, but needs still to be accessed at a fairly quick clip? Like, is that kind of where you see it going? And then obviously you've got to try and mold the technologies to get that balance as well. But where do you see it?
Yes, we're definitely seeing projects coming up, with AI and ML and autonomous vehicles and robots, and all those new technologies, as well as even like some medical imaging projects as well. So there's a lot of data that will be generated, and it's already generated for AI. And the thing is that it needs a lot of performance. So we're seeing, scalability, how, we're going to scale it to an enormous scale. And but it's all going to be Flash, it's all going to be
All
NVMe
flash.
at this point. It's all going to be Flash. Some of it may be sort of secondary, but a lot of it is going to be NVMe. It's going to require a lot of storage, a lot of capacity. Which now it's, I think it's going to create some shortages, supply chain issues.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's what's
We've seen
happened with.
that. Yeah, we've seen that already. So we actually, we work with Samsung and Kioxia on the flash side, and right now Samsung has supply chain issues, so we can't get any drives. We're waiting until January.
Yeah, right. Because, and that is the problem between, say, spinning disk and NVMe and SSD, right?
Correct,
Because
correct,
it's chips versus platters, effectively, right?
correct. And
So, yeah.
they cannot make the chips fast enough. So there's basically the factory, just fully completely booked, with orders, and they don't have enough factories to build it. So
And it's not a resource thing, is it? It's not a resource situation. It's a production issue.
It's a production issue. Yeah, it's a production issue. They just can't. The factory, cost, like few billion dollars, and they, even if they have the money to do it, it just takes 3 to 5 years to build it. So
Well,
they kind of decide, do
yeah.
we build it or do we not? So, and then they just kind of going back and forth with it. But in the meantime, there's a demand because, obviously when COVID hit, the demand went down, hyperscalers went down, and then now hyperscalers are back up. And then, of course, they're trying to prioritize for hyperscalers and for the smaller guys, there's always, supply chain issues. So the hard drives are okay, but the flash is now in shortage.
Do you think there's a opportunity there to create a better type of hot tier caching scenario then, where you leverage, and it's a traditional way of thinking, right? I mean, the VNX from AMC was a classic, where it had the hot tiering, where it would promote the hot blocks 10%, whatever you set it up to, over an algorithm that it ran every night into the flash. And in theory, that if that was a quicker ZFS with a Zilk cache, that works the same way. So is that, do you think, a solution for the AI as well, where you need to, but then I think about the way that AI just chunks pieces of random information from everywhere. It would almost be impossible. But in that lies some opportunity for somebody to create something that can work with that, to be able to do that sort of caching on the fly and not just use all NVMe or flash and leverage a bit of spinning disk to be able to promote. But yeah, there's a problem for you to solve. If you can solve it,
There's
I reckon Jet
definitely
Shorts would be okay.
Yeah, there's definitely thinking about, how do we tier it, so to speak. But the tiering is like, they don't like that word in storage anymore because there's
No.
companies now saying, no tiers, it's all flash, some of our, partners and competitors, saying you don't need hard drives anymore. So you just kind of
Yeah.
stay with all flash. But the problem is you just can't have, flash is still sort of expensive. So a lot of people still want to utilize
Yeah.
this. But like you said, the hard data is going to be the key. And if you're going to have so much hot data that everybody's always accessing, you still need, you're going to need the fast access to that data. So you're going to overrun the flash. So you
Yeah.
have to be very careful how you design it. Because in the early days, I don't know if you remember a company called Nimble Storage
Yes.
that had tiering. They were like the first ones that were doing tiering. And a lot of times the problems that they have is that they have very small cache. So the customers started having, at first it was fast, but then when everything went into cache, it would overflow the cache and it will get on disk and the system got slower. So all the
Yes.
customers start complaining, it's too slow, it's too slow. And we actually replacing some of this old Nimble arrays now, this cloud customer, they're saying it's too slow now because, we have a lot of demand, high
Maxed out. Yeah.
transaction, databases that, need to go into flash. So it's a very tricky thing because you have to figure out how much hot data you're gonna put, how much flash you're gonna put in this array.
Yeah. That's a great conversation. I think, like you said, we could have almost spent the whole time talking about it, but
We
it
could
was
spend
fat. It was,
another
yeah.
episode on
But
this. So.
it was fascinating though, because I think it made me think, and hopefully the listeners think about, yeah, this we're not only got a problem with GPU and compute, there's a problem with storage here that needs solving. So hopefully Jetstor can do that. Hey, just to finish off, because we've only got about a minute left, talk about the fact of, officially, you are moving officially to the Jetstor name, versus the name that you founded. So just quickly talk about that, and then we'll wrap up.
We this year, this week actually, we decided that to finally rename the company to Jetstor. So the ACNC is pretty much going to be the doing business as Jetstor. So we are Jetstor officially. We're Jetstor. We're going to have everything is now going to be Jetstor, and we are officially Jetstore from this point on. So this is the big
Awesome.
announcement on your
Well
show.
done. Thank you.
So
Feel grateful for announcing it. But hey, it was a really good conversation. I love chatting to you, and hopefully we can stay in touch, and hopefully everyone can be more involved and take a look at what Jetstor is doing in storage, because you've got great lineage, great history, and I'm sure you're going to be successful moving forward. So thank you for being on. Just as a final reminder, if you love great things with great tech, please head to at Anthony's Material at GTW GT Podcast or GTW GT. jetstore.com. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. And again, a big thank you to Gene and Jetstore. This has been episode 75 of Great Things with Great Tech.